Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Thank you for downloading the Manchester City Football Social Podcast with Blooming Rising. On this show, Sam Lee talks about Rafa Benitez and a very weird comparison with Pep Guardiola. We talk about the Cardiff City game, a very, very big game for Manchester City. And of course, we look ahead to the FA Cup semi-final against Brighton. If you haven't already, make sure you subscribe to the podcast. That would be really good. And leave us a 5-star rating. We would really appreciate that too. Enjoy the show.
Manchester City Football Social with Blue Moon Rising.
Good evening and welcome. It is the Manchester City Football Social with Blue Moon Rising. I'm Natalie Pike and I am joined in the studio this evening by two guys that are seriously in the know. If you've got a question about City, if you want to know something about City, then these two know the answers. We are joined by Sam Lee from Goal and Adam from Blue Moon Rising.
Hello.
Good evening.
She set you up well there, Sam.
And you, mate.
No.
Even pedestal tonight.
No.
Well, there's absolutely loads going on in the world of Manchester City tonight.
Yeah, we've got, obviously we've got two massive games this week. We've got Cardiff in a really big fixture tomorrow night. We've got Brighton coming up in the FA Cup semi-final this weekend. No Aguero tomorrow night. So we're going to be asking you guys, are we going to miss him? Will Jesus be able to fit in quite nicely? Don't forget to get in touch as always on 0345 711 7625 or 87711 on the text or tweet us at MCR Footy Social. We're also going to be talking about Paul Merson's comments about Pep Guardiola and Rafa Benitez, which Sam Lee's got something to get off his chest there.
I'll be right after that.
We've got a bit of Mo Salah talking nonsense about Sergio Aguero.
And you've got a lot to get off your chest
about
that.
Yeah, that's really wound me up. But first, Sam, we're going to talk some positive stuff. Mm. Under-18s last night, getting through to the FA Youth Cup final against Liverpool. Talk to us. You were there. You saw it.
Yeah. Nice and calm topic to start off with before we go a bit mad later on. But yeah, City beat West Brom 4-2, and you know there was a massive gulf in class between the two sides. But that, you know, City still had to turn up and do their job. It's like the first team, you know, you expect there to be a gulf in class, but you get those certain performances where everything goes City's way, and that was exactly what happened last night with the under-18s. Basically, everybody had a good game. Everyone played really well. Ben Knight, he's only 16 years old. They signed him from Ipswich last season. Spurs were trying to get him. I think Mauricio Pochettino even like went and met him to try and get him to go to Spurs, but City got him in the end. Like I say, he's still only 16. He's not 17 until November. He scored twice last night. He was really good. Felix Nmecha, you probably know a bit more about, the younger brother of the other Nmecha, who is now elsewhere on loan at Preston. He was really good. He scored a goal. Tommy Doyle, we all know about him and his City links. He was really good. He scored a good goal. The Spanish lads, Bernabe, Tuesi, they were good. Basically, everyone was really good. It was a bit of a weird game because City were 1-0 up, bossing it, and then West Brom scored out of nowhere 10 minutes before half-time. Then there was a slip at the back. West Brom could have been winning 2-1 at half-time. That would have been kind of like a mini-typical City. But the second half, they came out. City bossed it again. There was like one or two mistakes at the back in each half, but that was it. City really were on top of it. Played really well, like I say, individual performances all over the place. And they're going to play Liverpool in the final.
How good are this team? So we've seen City get to the FA Youth Cup final a few times over the last few years.
Yeah, we've lost three times to Chelsea since 2008.
New challenge this time. But how, this is a really young FA Youth Cup team, though, isn't it?
Yes.
By all standards. So
like I say, with Knight, he's 16 and he's smaller than everyone else as well. But he, you know, he darted into the box. There was a good cross from Bernabe, but it wasn't particularly aimed for anyone. It was kind of a loose ball, and he just nipped in and poked it in. And then he ran across the near post to flick on a header for the second goal. And he's only a small lad. I spoke to him afterwards. The confidence on this kid, honestly, it's really good. And it's always good to speak to footballers before the media training kicks in.
Because, more honest.
Yeah, very honest. Because I asked him, like, you know, what do you still have to work on in terms of, you know, I was thinking, like, attributes and that kind of thing. And he said, getting in the first team. Because I don't want to be one of these kids who comes through the 18s and goes into the under-23s, and then, you know, the implication being he'd get sent out on loan. He wants to have a proper route into the first team, like Phil Foden. He's only been here, like, this is his first season. Like I say, he's nowhere near 17 yet. So he's got his eyes set on that. There was loads of other stuff. He gave an interview with the City website when he first came in, said he models himself on David Silva playing number 10, but he's played in all of the front three positions this season, so he's been a bit of a false nine. He played a bit off the right-hand side yesterday as well. He's got a lot to his game. So he's the youngest of the team. Tommy Doyle was really good.
He's got real captain about him, hasn't he?
Yeah, he really has, because, you know, he added a lot of impetus to the game last night. But also good technically. He's not just one of these players who just runs around and jumps into tackles. He's got a bit about him as well. The goal that he scored from outside the box, that was deserved. And again, it was a proper captain's performance. Demetra, he scored a good goal from a good distance as well. And yeah, you know, these are talented kids. It's not been a great season for City. If you consider the UEFA Youth League, they went out in the group stages. They were kind of always up against it there. The under-23s, the problem with that is they, you know, a lot of people are out on loan. The under-23s, they've been taking players from the under-18s to play up an age group, and then they've been left, the under-18s generally have been left with younger lads. And, you know, it's been a bit of a hodgepodge team, but it's all kind of coming together at the moment. And the Liverpool game, obviously because what's going on with the seniors as well, it could be quite spicy. And the final, by coincidence, is at the Academy Stadium. Oh, just one leg.
Why is that? Do we know? Or is it?
I think it's just decided at the start of the season. You know, like Champions League finals, they say the final's going to be here. And then, you know, if Atletico Madrid had got there this season, they would have been effectively playing at home. I think it's the same thing as that.
We don't know when it is yet. They've not announced.
No. Obviously, it was only decided last night who would be there. So I think it's going to be some point in April. Because I was speaking to someone last night who's involved with the team who's going on holiday. And he said, I might miss it.
It'll be a busy one, that.
Yes, it will be, yeah.
I imagine they'll if you look at the Chelsea one, that was very busy. So, Sam, whilst we've got you all positive, talking...
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Right, ready, everybody. Sam.
Here's a quote for you. Paul Merson on Rafa Benitez, right? I think that he's up there with one of the best. We go on about Pep Guardiola and how great he is. Could he do what Rafa's doing at Newcastle on what they're getting? No chance.
And go, Sam!
Discuss.
Well, there's two bits to this, right? Benitez, I think he is one of the best coaches in the Premier League. Like, in terms of doing a job, his job, he's very good at that. And he is. You know, I think he's got more about him than managers like Sean Dyche, and obviously Tony Pulis in the past has been in the Premier League. Yeah. Now he's at Middlesbrough going for a promotion. I think he's got more about him than just defensive coaches like that, like Moyes and Allardyce. He is a very good coach. But then you start bringing in Guardiola into it, that doesn't make any sense. And look, Newcastle are in, you know, they're in a particular situation there, very little in investment, very unhappy fans. It's not an easy job to do. So again, that works in his credit. And what Benitez is good at, as we've seen at Liverpool, is, you know, getting the fan base on side. And there's a lot of fans who love him. And I can completely understand why. But bringing Guardiola into it, look, Newcastle, they're doing okay. They're not, you know, it's not like he's doing an amazing job in these terrible circumstances, and they're going for sixth or seventh.
And they're going to win the FA Cup. The football that they're playing.
Yeah, I mean, he's saying, could Pep Guardiola get seven more points than Cardiff? And Pep Guardiola, in my estimation, and in the estimation of many people, is the best coach in the world at the moment, top five of all time. Could he get a team? Could he get Newcastle to win the Premier League? Probably not.
No.
Could he get him in the top four? Probably not. Could he get him in the top half? Maybe. Could he get him 7 points ahead of Cardiff? Yeah, I don't see why not. I mean, that's just an opinion. But there's fact as well. If you're going to bring other managers into it, Benitez is very good at what he does.
Yeah.
But he's now managing Newcastle because he's had opportunities to manage big clubs and they've not gone well.
Yeah.
And you always get this. Sean Dyche last season when Burnley were doing well, you heard people say, oh, I'd love to see him with a big club's budget. So would I.
Eddie Howe. Look,
Eddie Howe as well. More so these kind of managers that are a bit more circumspect, a bit more defensive. It's happened with Pulis as well in the past. People talk about why they don't get chances. But we know what's happened when managers like that get chances. Roy Hodgson at Liverpool, David Moyes at United.
Allardyce for England.
Yeah, Allardyce for England. They play underdog football, and you know the big players who want to play good football, they're not having it. That is a fact. And another example, Benitez himself. Inter not so much. Inter was more a man management thing because he went in after Mourinho and said, we're doing things differently. And they said, we don't want to do that. And he was gone. Real Madrid, he could not handle those big players who want to play attacking football. He does not play attacking football like a big club should. So he's very good at Newcastle. He's very well suited to a club like that. But if you're going to bring in Guardiola and say, can the best manager in the world do what he's doing at Newcastle? Yes, he probably can. If you're going to flip it the other way, can Benitez do what Guardiola's doing at Newcastle, at City? No, because he's already had a go at it at Real Madrid.
True.
And he's failed at it. So I do think Benitez is a very good coach at what he does. But let's not go mad.
Shall we spice things up? We've got our resident Newcastle fan, Marley, in the studio. Because you've got a bit of a different opinion, obviously. So let's have yours.
Yeah, basically, look, Pep Guardiola, in my opinion, is the best manager in the world right now. Easy. But the thing is, if you brought his management and his style to Newcastle, we'd struggle. Because we haven't got the money to sort out, like, to improve the squad. So basically, when you're trying to get the very best out of Mohamed Diame, you know, DeAndre Yedlin.
But he's not going to try and win the league with them. He's just got to try and keep them in the league, which is what just about Benitez is doing now. You know, you said you'd struggle. Newcastle are struggling, really.
Yeah, but last season we came 10th.
Yeah.
And that was like as good as it can get. That was the fans were like looking at the table like at the end of the season, like, oh my God, how did we finish 10th? Because we were scrapping relegation. Then all of a sudden, between January and sort of March, we won, you know, 5 out of 8 games or something like that, and just flew up the table and ended up in 10th, and everyone was like, whoa, how did that happen?
But a run like that, I think Guardiola's perfectly capable of doing. And again, that is an opinion.
And can we consider as well what Pep brings with him as well? So, I mean, if Pep was to join Newcastle, let's say, in this fantasy land, it's not only Pep that he'd bring, it is all of the best coaches in the world. He'd bring, you know, his physios, his backroom staff, and then it's what he brings in terms of investment-wise as well. Because I reckon if you've got Pep Guardiola managing you, you're selling more shirts, you're selling, well, not that you can sell more tickets, you lot, because you're pretty much there already, but you're probably bringing in more commercial success, because Pep is the biggest name in world football. So everything else he brings with you, then when you bring all that together, then what do you think?
But then all it is if you're bringing all that commercial stuff, all the best coaches, and you make the club more attractive, where does that go at Newcastle? Mike Ashley's pocket. We don't get any of it. We don't say, oh, okay, I want 100 million of shirts and we've signed X and X, Y and Z and this means that we're a better team. Mike Ashley goes, yep, cheers, thank you, I'll go and buy another failing high street store and you're not having anything to spend on the players you want. It's daft.
Can you imagine
that's
Pep Guardiola?
That's the frustration for us because, yeah, I mean, anything we sort of do, it only benefits Mike Ashley, which is the biggest bugbear of Newcastle fans' lives and over the last however many years he's been in charge.
I think there's no denying Benitez is doing a good enough job at Newcastle, but when you've got Pep, who's come in and broken all the records in Premier League history, basically, last season, there's doing a good enough job, and then there's being just exceptional at what you do. If you took Pep to Newcastle, he would undoubtedly keep them in the league and would get them playing decent football, like Marley said.
Yeah, they wouldn't be winning. They wouldn't be getting the Champions League, because it'd be good football.
It'd be good football, but like you say, you are restricted to what you can do. But I think what it comes down to is just another silly throwaway hypothetical comment that's got us all talking about it. So he's done
his job. What was the context behind it? Did he literally just come out with it?
Not sure.
Well, I saw it when I searched for it on Twitter just before, and just to double check, it was posted by a Newcastle Twitter account, and they said this man Merson was recently saying Benitez couldn't do the job that Neil Warnock's doing at Cardiff. So
he's just changing his mind, isn't he?
Like I say, there's two bits of it. Benitez is a very good coach, and look, when City lost at Newcastle, whenever I've talked about that game, that wasn't a park in the bus game. That was a very good proactive approach. Yeah. Fine, that might have happened because City scored so early and they needed to come and chase the game. But they were excellently coached in that game. Yeah. And I'm really not taking that away from Benitez at all. It's just this other side of it, the punditry side of it, which just, it drives me mad really, because it's just, it's nonsense, isn't it?
Yeah.
For the reasons I've tried to lay out.
You're happy now, Sam?
Yeah, we'd let them have the rest of the show.
Right. Are you happy?
Throw out a very quick question. So please why? Do. So for example, if Pep could come in and you know make us a better team, could he finish better than 10th? With Newcastle, considering realistically there's only 7th, 8th, 9th,
do you know what?
To play for as a Newcastle
but,
fan,
but again you said it was that run of games at the end, and I think you know it's you don't need to be a particularly good or consistent side to get 10th. You know, you can do it with a run like that, and if you look at Wolves at the moment, Wolves are a really good team, and you know if City were to play Wolves in the FA Cup final, Wolves will have a decent chance of winning that game. They're very good in those games, but they don't have that consistency. They went to Burnley and lost. They've lost twice to Huddersfield, but they're still seventh. So if Bournemouth you get even a hint of consistency, yeah. I think you can do 10th quite easily with the team. Not quite easily because like with Benitez or Pellegrini at West Ham, but if you're Pep Guardiola and you're the best coach in the world, I think quite easily you could get a team like that to 10th.
Right, so Sam's got that off his chest. He's been dying to do that, but Adam's got something he wants to get off his chest. And somebody else said something absolutely ridiculous this week. It's not just Paul Merson that's on the ridiculous chart. This guy said this.
I didn't score for a couple of games. Yeah, okay, but there is some players also has the same number of goals like me, but they're saying like they have a best season of them live or them so far. There is 3-4 players, no one talk about them. They all just say like they have a good season. I'm the only one who have the best season. And Aguero has had two goals over me, just 2 goals. And they say, well, this is one of the best season for him so far. So I don't care too much. I just play. I want to win the Premier League. That's the most important thing for me.
So that was Mohamed Salah having a breakdown by the sounds of it. What do you think, Adam?
Well, so I think with Mo Salah, right, he was last season, he had one of the great seasons for a Premier League player. He came in all competitions, scored 44 goals in 52 games, which is extraordinary. This season he's got 20 and 42, which is still very good, and Aguero's only scored 2 more of them. Fine. But the issue is consistency. Like, if you look at Salah's last 5 seasons, yeah, last season he scored 44, this season he scored 20. Before that, 9, 15, 19. Fine. Respectable stats, but I don't think any of us are saying Mo Salah's having a bad season. I don't think any of us would even put that argument forward. He's just having a season that's lower than last season, and people are strangely, I say people, I'm not sure who, are strangely...
I think it's a theory that's out there. It's an opinion.
It's a Twitter theory, isn't it? It's one
of
those.
Yeah, to be fair, we know what to think of that. Basically, Twitter now is just downplaying your rivals.
He scored 20 goals. Last season, he scored 44. He's never, ever going to get to that level again, or so you'd think. But let's look at Aguero's last 5 years. This is one of the great Premier League strikers, if not the greatest, depends what you believe. 29 goals this season in 38 games, less games than Salah's played. 30 last year in 39, 33 the season before, 29 before that, and 32 before that. This is all about consistency. Aguero's having an exceptional season this season. He might win the Golden Boot, hopefully. I know he's injured, so he won't be here tomorrow. But again, right, I'm going to carry on. Salah has been known this season for struggling against the top sides. Like, he's not scored many goals against the top 6 sides. Aguero's goals against the top 6, he scored 10 goals against Spurs, 10 against Chelsea, 8 against United, 8 against Arsenal, 7 against Liverpool. That's some of his highest goals against clubs have been against the top clubs. He's got 11 Premier League hat-tricks, equaled Shearer's record. He's just levelled himself on goals with Thierry Henry, doing it in 43 games fewer than him. I could go on, but this is
so
exhausting.
Salah has just 1 goal from 9 appearances against the top 6 in the league this season, and that was a penalty to make it 4-0 in the demolition, the 5-1 demolition of Arsenal. You see, I'm reading that off the internet.
You know, there's parallels really with the Merson thing. Like,
it's just weird.
There's an argument about, you know, Salah and maybe he's underperforming compared to last season, which was an incredible season, but he's still having a good season. But why are you bringing Aguero into it? Why are you bringing in someone else who's like having a good season in their own right?
That's what I didn't get. Why are you saying this about Aguero? This is a man who's Premier League champion, who until recently is top of the league and could go top of the league again tomorrow. And it's one of those, as Twitter would say, why are you trying to create a rivalry, Mo Salah? So, no, it's another ridiculous voice. No, don't bring Aguero into it. He is one of, if not the greatest Premier League striker of all time.
End.
Thanks.
End Mo Salah. So,
over.
That's Mo Salah and Merson done.
See ya.
Over. So much more to talk about. Of course, we've got the game tomorrow night against Cardiff, and then we have the FA Cup semi-final this weekend as well. We're also looking for you to help us pick the worst ever City players. That's awfully negative, isn't it? But, you know,
and
before...
And United,
before the Derby game, you know, quite often you get the pick the best 11. Well, we're switching it up and we're doing pick the worst 11 ever ahead of the Derby game. So if you have a look on our Twitter, MCR Footy Social, or you can have a look at the Blue Moon Rising Twitter, which is BM Rising, we want you to nominate the worst ever City player, and we're going to compile that before the Derby. Right, we'll be back in a minute and we'll be speaking to a Cardiff fan.
Manchester City Football Social. Subscribe to the podcast now and never miss a show.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Since 2013, Bombas has donated over 100 million socks, underwear, and T-shirts to those facing homelessness. If we counted those on air, this ad would last over 1,157 days. But if we counted the time it takes to make a donation possible, it would take just a few clicks. Because every time you make a purchase, Bombas donates an item to someone who needs it.
Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
Manchester City Football Social with Blue Moon Rising.
Welcome back to the Manchester Football Social with Blue Moon Rising. I'm Sam Lee. I'm joined tonight by Natalie Pike and Adam Keyworth. If you want to get in touch with us, if we piqued your interest in the first half of the show with our rants and you want to let us know, then you can give us a call on 0345 111 7625. Give us a text on 87711 or tweet us, most likely, at MCR Footy Social. In this part, we're going to be talking pretty much about Cardiff. It's a big game tomorrow night for City. It's probably a game that people might be overlooking.
Yeah.
There's going to be no Aguero. We'll probably look at that and think, is that going to be a big deal? Should he be saved for the Spurs game? Should he be safe for Wembley? Should he be safe for further down the line?
We'll see.
Who knows? We'll cover that. But first of all, we do have a Cardiff City fan. No, not a Cardiff City fan. A Cardiff City correspondent. God, I should know the difference between fan and correspondent by now. For Wales Online, Dom Booth, how's it going, mate? And could you please tell us what City should expect from Cardiff on Wednesday night?
Yeah, good, thanks. Yeah, there's a difference between a Cardiff City fan and a Cardiff City correspondent, as I can attest. Well, who knows, really? You know, Cardiff don't expect to win the game. They probably don't expect to even score a goal. But, you know, they're still sort of reeling from this refereeing controversy against Chelsea the other night. So, really, if Cardiff can put in any sort of respectable performance, then I would have thought they'd be delighted.
Are they taking any sort of boost, though, from the fact, you know, that they should have had a draw against Chelsea at the weekend?
Well, I guess they can take positives from the performance. They certainly pushed Chelsea all the way. They weren't in control of possession, but they never are. But you know, they defended very well. They'll hope to do something similar against City. Obviously, the banks in four, the banks in five, maybe will be there. At the moment, it feels a bit low, and it feels like they've really missed an opportunity through no fault of their own. So it'll take some time to recover from that.
Warnock, in his fume after the game, he made a jibe about putting out the under-23s. What can we expect in terms of team from Cardiff tomorrow?
Yeah, don't worry about that. There'll be no under-23s. I think Liverpool fans on social media were a little bit concerned about that. Not that the Cardiff first team would really, you would think, have a chance of causing an upset at the Etihad. But, you know, it'll be pretty much a full-strength side, I would have thought. Cardiff don't have a game at the weekend because of FA Cup action, so I think they've got a full 10 days after the City game before the next match. So, yeah, it should be full-strength, and, yeah, they'll go all out for a result if possible.
You say probably no chance. Betfair have got Cardiff City at 100-1 to beat Manchester City tomorrow night. It's the longest odds in Premier League history for a team to win a single game of football. Surely Cardiff aren't as bad as the bookies are saying.
Well, surely that's worth a bet, I would have thought. Yeah, they're definitely better than that. I don't know what the odds were when Huddersfield played at the Etihad, but I would have thought they're much less likely to get a result than Cardiff.
I saw Warnock said today, you know, they're going to go there and make a performance that the team, that the fans can be proud of. In your estimation, what kind of performance would that be? Would that be the kind of banks of four, banks of five, or would it be going for it and kind of just, you know, have it, a bit of momentum, a bit of effort to maybe try and take into the Burnley game?
Well, he said in his press conference that they're going to have a go, and that you know, he doesn't want to just sit there and wait to get beaten, because that's what will happen anyway. So I think it'll be as bold as you could hope for. And, you know, kind of have pace on the counter. I hope to utilise that. I hope to get in behind City's fullbacks, so obviously stay quite high. You know, Cardiff don't want to go in with a defeatist attitude. It'll serve them no good at all. So I think just doing themselves justice would be a fine performance. And, you know, who knows? The Premier League's thrown up these results in the past, hasn't it?
And Dom, obviously we established there that you are the Cardiff City correspondent, but we believe that you have a new job on the horizon.
Oh, have you heard that? Yeah, that's true. Yeah, I'm about to go and cover Manchester United. So, just in change.
Boo! So we liked you, but no, you're off now. But our friends on our equivalent, equivalent rival show on the Manchester Football Social will sure be speaking to you in the future.
Yeah, I look forward to speaking to you just before the Manchester Derby. Yeah. That should be interesting.
Thanks a lot, Dom.
Cheers, mate.
Cheers.
Right, so, but big news for City, never mind Cardiff, really.
Yeah.
There's going to be changes, but one enforced, no Aguero. Does it... It's going to sound incredibly arrogant, even though I'm not a City fan, but does it make any difference tomorrow night?
It's, again, trying not to sound arrogant, it's probably the best time. If he's going to miss one game, hopefully it's going to be the best time. And do you know what? I wonder if Pep would have considered resting him anyway.
Yeah.
For this all
I didn't put him in my fantasy football team for that reason.
Because
so.
I think we need Jesus now to play a bit more. I think he probably will play Saturday as well as tomorrow, because I can't see him going near Aguero on Saturday with Spurs coming up. And we need Jesus now to get back into that run of form and get some goals, because we're going to need him. Mm. We're going to need him now in this running, because there's going to be games where players are tired and we need to throw Jesus on and get us a goal. And we saw last season how good he was at that. So I think it's probably the best time to miss out on him. I just hope that Pep wasn't being optimistic. I hope that it is just a slight twinge and that he... hopefully will be available for Saturday, but I don't think we'll see him.
No, that does seem to be the case. I mean, they always kind of downplay these injuries, but I think from the Aguero camp as well, they were saying the same kind of thing. You mentioned Jesus getting into the rhythm. The same kind of thing should be said for Sane and Mahrez. What have you made of those recently, Nat? Do you think if they were to both start tomorrow night, do you think they'd have enough to do the job?
Yeah, definitely. I feel sorry for Mahrez this season. He's really kind of been the one player that's been taking a bit of stick from City fans consistently. I mean, my husband gives him immense stick every time that he plays. And, you know, surely that can't be good for anybody's confidence levels. Obviously, he came having an unbelievably phenomenal season at Leicester, winning all, you know, the individual awards. He's clearly got the talent. I think we just need to really get behind him, you know, and give him some support, because, you know, Come on, give the guy a break. I don't know, how do you feel about Mahrez, Adam?
I mean, he's got double figures for goals and assists this season.
Which is ridiculous.
He's struggled in some games, and I think his issue has been less about talent and more about wanting to impress too much. I think in some games where we've seen it, and it's frustrating, but I can see why often he's going for goal instead of playing the pass, and that's what winds Pep up more than anything. You can always see it, that we know how City play. We've seen it with Sane and Sterling. Every time they get the head up, there's that switch in the brain that goes, right, cross it, because it's an easy, easy goal. And that's the kind of goal we score. Mahrez is known for scoring really nice goals. And he's a great weapon to have. And we saw earlier in the season, he was playing in the big games. He was getting picked for those big games because he keeps the ball brilliantly. It's one thing people forget. He keeps the ball at his feet. Often his final ball isn't quite there yet. But like you say, you make a good point that the same thing applies to him as it does with Jesus and Sane. Sane a little bit less so because we know
he's more up and down,
him.
Isn't he, Sane?
Yeah,
it's weird.
And he hasn't been not half as good. He hasn't been as lethal, I don't think, this season. Last season, he...
Well, coming out of Christmas up until about, well, the Schalke first leg when he didn't play, it was like, oh no, he's fine.
He's back.
Don't worry about it. But since then...
Yeah. I do wonder what it is, but it's typical of Pep's management of him that when he gets in the team, he'll stay in the team. But to be honest, how is he going to be getting in the team at the moment ahead of Sterling and Bernardo?
Yeah.
If we're playing a full team, and that's just the way it is, and that will change. One of them two will come out, or Bernardo might sit a bit deeper. So I think it's so vital. The other player that I really don't want to see start tomorrow through no fault of his own is Kyle Walker. I think he's just played both games for England as well. He could really do with the rest.
Yeah. And Danilo's been all right, hasn't he?
Danilo's been really good. I really like him in midfield, but I don't think we'll start seeing Pep playing with that at this stage.
No.
The centre-halves are something that I can't quite get my head around.
I think he'll keep Laporte in. Do you mean for tomorrow?
Yeah, Laporte.
I think he'll keep Laporte in for consistency and for the ball up. But I think the thing is, Otamendi could play because he plays all the time. But it's like, is it about time to get Stones back in?
Maybe. The thing he might be thinking is Cardiff's centre forwards are often quite big with Zahor and whoever else they want to put up there. Patterson scores with his head as well. I wonder if, and to be honest, Otamendi, he has been in the team quite a lot recently, but he still looks a little bit rash.
Oh, okay, yeah.
And
well, he's never going to get rid of that.
No,
as good a season he had last year.
Yeah, he almost
and
lost
even this year,
it. But I think Stones will play on Saturday against Brighton.
Yeah.
We'll come on to that later on in the show, but for tomorrow, I'd like to see Danilo. I think Zinchenko will start regardless.
Did you hear they were talking on the Manchester Football Social on Monday night about the PFA awards and how Bernardo Silva is nowhere near in the reckoning in terms of the odds? And they read out the odds, and John Stones has better odds of winning the PFA than Bernardo Silva.
I don't mind it.
That's insane, right?
It's kind of weird. Well, I did that poll on Twitter. I can't remember when it was. Maybe after the Schalke game?
I think I did one as well, yeah.
Just like I said, between Sterling and Bernardo Silva, who would your player of the year be? Mainly for City fans. But I think it was about 52% for Bernardo Silva. There was about 10,000 votes, I think. It was really, really close. Obviously, Sterling's really taken off in recent weeks just because of, you know, the hat-tricks and the other headlines.
England.
But Bernardo Silva, for all the consistency and reliability that he showed to get to that estimation about 6 weeks ago, he's still been doing it as well. So it's mad that he's not up there.
3 goals and 3 assists in March. He'll probably win our player of the month unless Sterling wins it again.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know if he'll play tomorrow, Bernardo.
Yeah, well, this is it. Like I was, because him and Sterling have been undroppable, particularly in the front line. But the thing with Bernardo is you can move him back, so maybe he'll do that.
Maybe
rest David Silva, because I think De Bruyne having featured the weekend, he'll need more minutes on top of that. Fernandinho too.
Yeah, they both start.
So I was thinking maybe he'll put in Sterling, because if you've not got Aguero's goal threat, you just keep Sterling in there
on the right.
But maybe it's kind of like a look, lads, I still trust you, and by lads I mean Sane, Mahrez and Jesus.
Yeah.
I still trust you, despite Swansea.
All three.
Despite West Ham, despite...
Swansea was bad,
what else was it? And basically, they've been brought off early because they've not made an impact. But maybe he thinks, kind of under the umbrella of, I still trust you, please play well. But maybe, I really need this to work. Because he needs those players to be able to come in and contribute, not as a three, but maybe one here and there in the next 6 weeks.
Let's make no qualms about it as well. Tomorrow is... in very City slang, is a massive, massive game.
Well, you're worried about it, aren't you?
I am genuinely worried.
What
because
do you reckon,
well, I don't feel worried because I don't think this is a game.
Your because is just because you're just worried.
No, it's not. It's because
you're a City fan, that's why.
It's complacency, and we've seen it this season, especially with those front three, and that is not me pinning the blame on those three being complacent. Them three playing together has led to some really strange performances, and the remaining games are all a lot tougher than tomorrow. Palace away, Burnley away, all the Tottenham games. Tomorrow night is the one that you can look at and go, there might be a bit of complacency. And they're all thinking, because despite what Pep says, they're thinking weekend FA Cup semi-final, next week Champions League first leg. They're going to have to manage A, the bodies, and B, tomorrow night's result. And that's not easy.
Yeah, but they can do it because
I know.
You're talking about the world's best players. And in terms of their body, we've already seen that Aguero won't be playing. And I think Jesus, this is the perfect game for Jesus to come in. He's not going to be complacent. He's going to want to take his opportunity. He scored those goals for Brazil throughout in the international break. He's going to be fairly fresh. He's going to take this opportunity. I feel as well, you know, for Cardiff, they aren't looking at this game, you know, is a possibility for them. They're looking at their next games against Burnley and Brighton, who are directly above them in the league.
Free hit, isn't it?
To take the you know, they want the points off them. They don't want the points off us.
I think it'll be a tense one in the stadium tomorrow where we need that first goal.
We love that West Ham game.
And as soon as we get the first goal, everyone will relax and then we should be okay. But that's going to be important tomorrow. We don't want to be going into half-time at 0-0 and people start worrying. And we don't then want Pep panicking and having to bring players on because we have to win tomorrow. It's a must win. If anything else is disastrous.
Yeah, he's been good at keeping that complacency in check since the very start of the season. And, you know, for all that talk about it being tense, it could be 5-0 by half time. So probably a good time to have a little bit of a break. Yeah. And then we can look forward to the Brighton game, since we won't be doing a show before that. Just before we go away again, probably better point you towards this worst ever City 11, Premier League combined 11. I mean, if you've got any ideas on the worst ever United players that we get into it, feel free to let us know, but probably your listeners,
I think it's probably going to be City heavy. Yeah.
It's probably going to be City heavy. So yeah, the worst ever City players in the Premier League. Somebody mentioned Maicon the other day. I'd forgotten about Maicon.
I totally forgot he existed.
Plodding away at City. So there's one.
There's some good memories, though, isn't there? When you start naming them, good memories.
Yeah. So let us know. Join the debate, really.
Yeah. Get on Twitter
at MCR Footy Social or at BM Rising on Twitter, and we'll see you after the break.
Manchester City Football Social. Subscribe to the podcast now and never miss a show. Manchester City Football Social with Blue Moon Rising.
Good evening and welcome back to the Manchester City Football Social with Blue Moon Rising. I'm Adam and tonight I'm joined by Sam Lee and Natalie Pike. We've already gone through under-18s getting through to the FA Youth Cup final, Salah's comments on Aguero, Merson's comments about Pep and Rafa. Don't ask if you haven't already seen it, check out the podcast because Sam enjoyed himself for that bit, let's put it that way. We've talked again about the Cardiff City game tomorrow night, big game, but this weekend, lest we forget, we have a semi-final in the FA Cup at Wembley against Brighton. And we've got AD on the phone from the Albion Raw podcast, their Brighton podcast. If you want to check it out, go and find it anywhere that you get your podcast from. AD, what are you thinking about Saturday's game?
To be honest, we're not yet. We're more worried about tomorrow night at the moment. Saturday is a massive game for us. It's probably more massive than it is for you, judging by the fact that you only managed to sell 18,000 tickets for it. But, you know, Champions League tickets aren't cheap and getting down to London isn't cheap. So we kind of understand the reasons for it, and the game shouldn't be at Wembley in the first place. But at the end, for us, most importantly, the fact that we didn't actually beat Southampton at the weekend is a little bit of a worry. And we've got a big game at Stamford Bridge tomorrow, which no one's really given us an earthly in. But I feel that we can actually get something from that game, and we need to get some daylight and at least a performance, a confidence boosting performance ahead of playing you lot on Saturday.
Whenever I've been on the radio, I always get asked these stupid radio-friendly questions, and they're always frustrating me, but I'm going to ignore all that and ask you one. Would you rather win the FA Cup and get relegated, or stay up and just lose to City on Saturday?
You're right, it's a stupid question. We see that on all the fans' forums and stuff like that. Yeah. And it's like, why do you want to know what? It's not even the thing. I mean, the fact that we got to the FA Cup final and got relegated ourselves in 1983, which is the last time we were in the cup semi final as well, obviously. you know, it has happened, but the bottom line is, we don't. Can we just have both?
Most likely not.
No, you're asking most the wrong people not. There. Yeah.
Does it play into your hands on Saturday that you won't be expected? Brighton won't be expected to win the game. Does it almost give you a free hit a day out of Wembley? And we've seen before, and anything can happen. I hate that cliche, but City have seen it. Does it give you just a free hit?
Well, I mean, we're looking at this. Like, is it going to be Man City? Is it going to be Schalke, or is it going to be Wigan? We know that on your day you're capable of putting seven or eight past people, and we know that you're also being capable of beating them. You got beaten by a small club like Crystal Palace, so. It's anything's possible on his day, and you know it is a massive game for us on Saturday, because you know, I mean, for a club like yourselves at the moment, I mean, we know it took you a while to get back up to the top table, and obviously the way that the club is now and the football that you're playing now, getting to Wembley is a new thing for you. But we haven't actually played there in a competitive fixture, excluding the Spurs game last season, since 1983. Sorry, since 1991 in the playoff final. Sorry, but in the FA Cup since 83. So it's a massive step for us being there. I think that there will be a certain amount of Man City. Fans, possibly even players, who might be taking it for granted. But it's a free hit to a certain degree. I mean, we're not going to get relegated if we lose on to you lot. We're just not going to get to the FA Cup final. So, but we want to get to the FA Cup final.
It's amazing, Adi. You're going to have such a brilliant day, whatever happens, because Wembley is brilliant. So I hope you have a cracking day. I mean, we are playing. You were talking about before that we've got Cardiff tomorrow night, and you obviously want us to beat them. But you might have already heard that Aguero is injured tomorrow. Are you hoping that he perhaps isn't playing at the weekend?
Does it matter? Okay. No Aguero. Oh, this is Gabby Jesus, or other players. Like, haven't got Aguero to worry about. Oh, that's it. There's no problem. Hang on. There's De Bruyne. There's Sterling. There's Sane. You know, I mean, these are all players that are actually having absolutely wonderful seasons, and Sterling's in the form of his life at the moment. And from an England point of view, I was watching him the other night. That was just absolutely wonderful seeing him coming of age in an England shirt. We know we're up against it, but you know, you went to Wembley in the FA Cup final and you lost to Wigan.
We did, and believe me, it haunts us. It continually haunts us. So yeah, honestly,
shall I mention it again?
No, we don't need to hear. We almost consider banning that word Wigan on this show. But thank you so much for coming on.
We ban words like Crystal Palace and all, so that's all right.
Yes. Well, thank you so much for coming on. We really wish you all, hope you have a brilliant day on Saturday. Obviously, get beat, but have a brilliant day, and thank you for coming on.
You're welcome.
Thanks, Adi.
Many thanks. Cheers, guys.
Cheers.
Sis, we've talked about the Cardiff game. We know that Aguero won't be fit. If Aguero is fit, Nat, do you want to see him play on Saturday?
Yes.
Ooh.
Yes, I do, because he is the greatest Manchester City player of all time, and ideally I would like to see him play in every single game. I just think we are a better team when Aguero plays. Yeah. And obviously between now, and I'm saying between now and the 1st of June, because that is the date of the Champions League final, and I am planning for the long-term optimism of this.
Good.
If he can play every single game, if his body can hold up, for every, I want him to play every single game.
Sam, is that clever?
It remains to be seen, doesn't it? So far it's worked, but we still don't know what's going to happen in April. It's been all about April for about 6 weeks now, and we're about to find out. I'd personally rest him, but I'd probably play like Sterling and Bernardo, the go-to wide forwards at the moment, and just put Jesus in the middle, and then bring Aguero back.
Hopefully
that'll be
enough.
But I can certainly, he's been keeping players in the rhythm by playing strong teams all season, so I can certainly see that working.
This is one of those games where, again, a bit of a banana skin. But should we win that, we're in another final, another step towards this quadruple that we're trying to ignore talking about too much. We have to, before we go, we have to talk about that Liverpool game. on Sunday.
Do we have to?
Really? We're going to have to, unfortunately. They've found another goalkeeper who's apparently world-class who can't use his hands. Now, was that a bit of a blow? Because it felt, didn't it, that things might have gone our way a little bit. But
well, we talked about it as well on this show a few times about us pinpointing that game against Tottenham as one where we thought they would drop points.
Yeah.
And watching it, you know, watching it getting to like the 88th minute and thinking, yes, yes, yes. And at that point, you're watching, Spurs were hammering them and they could have had a few more. And then they go and they just seem to be getting serious luck at the minute. And yes, the cliches are, you know, you make your own luck, champions have luck and all of that, but that was so unbelievably lucky. And if they had dropped points then and we'd have got, you know, a good old gap on them, I think, you know, the momentum and the confidence would have soared. But having said that, obviously it is still with us.
Yeah, Sam, if City go on to win the league above Liverpool now, we're looking at 97 points max for City, and Liverpool won't be far behind. Will that go down as one of the greatest title wins?
Yeah, absolutely.
Probably the greatest.
I mean, to be fair, even if Liverpool win it.
Yeah, very true.
Because isn't it an unprecedented amount of points at the moment? Whoever comes second is on for an unprecedented amount of points for a runner-up. It will definitely be. I mean, to bring it back to City, after all, this is the City show. On top of last season, you think, how do you top a 100-point season? You go and get, I don't know if it's going to be 92, 93 or up to 97. But doing that with a team like Liverpool, who have been really good in the most part, have been lucky to some extent as well recently, that really would be a way to cement that as probably, one of the best title wins of all time. But then you can definitely say, the greatest defence, hands down. And you could also say then definitely one of the best teams of the Premier League era, hands down.
So we play tomorrow night, obviously, because it's the rearranged game from the weekend, which should have, because we're in the FA Cup finals. Liverpool play Friday night. And then, so if we win tomorrow and they win on Friday, they go back above us for a little while.
Until the derby, basically.
Yeah.
Which is not
worry about
ideal.
That?
I think they've got a tough game. Southampton are in real trouble. So they've got one of those games that I talked about, like the Burnley game, that is tough because Southampton could really do with a result and they've been a little bit unlucky. I think win tomorrow night and I'll be happy then, because then we're back on track, we're on top going into Friday, put the pressure back on them, that's all it's about now. And I'm sick now of this bottling thing, because neither team is bottling this league. It's just not going to happen. No one's going to fall. Imagine not.
Well, it might do.
I hope so.
We've always talked so much about how long there is to go. Like, months after the Newcastle game, I was in here saying there's loads to... Like, when Liverpool did bottle it in 2014, it was much later than this. And
I don't care. If no one bottles it, we still win the league.
Very true.
Then I'll take that.
97 points, please.
97 points will do me, and a couple of other trophies as well. Thank you so much for joining us this evening. We really appreciate your time, as always. If you aren't listening on the podcast, please do consider downloading the podcast. We will be doing a little extra few minutes just for the podcast. If you've listened before, you'll know that we do a 60 seconds to answer any of your questions. We'll be doing that on the podcast. Thank you, as always, for listening. Have a wonderful night tomorrow night and a wonderful weekend at Wembley as well, Blues. And we'll be back next weekend when we'll be previewing the Champions League.
Manchester City Football Social. Subscribe to the podcast now and never miss a show.
Thank you very much for listening to the Manchester Football Social with Blue Moon Rising. I've been Sam Lee, Natalie Pike and Adam Keyworth.
Good.
Yeah, good show.
Very good show.
Obviously, we waffled on for a bit too long. And we didn't really get a chance to answer everyone's questions. But seeing as this is such a popular podcast, here it is on the podcast.
There we go.
So, we've got some questions to get straight into.
Yeah, quick fire questions. Are you two ready? Because they are going to be quick.
What is it, 30 seconds to answer questions posed on Twitter?
Yeah,
we can handle that, can't we?
And I've vetted them, Sam, so don't worry. It's not going to be...
No, I've calmed down.
Sam, report it. Report it. This is no time to be messing around. No. First one, are you ready?
Yes.
First one is from at Soansi on Twitter, who asks, Lucas Hernandez is signed for Bayern Munich. That leaves David Alaba out in the cold. Could he make a move to City, can play left-back and central midfield? Sam, go.
Good job I'm not Bayern Munich correspondent, because I've just not seen or heard much of Alaba for years now. I mean, he was one of those when Guardiola came, you'd have gone, if you can get this guy in, definitely. But
I'm not really sure what his situation is at the moment.
He once said, Pep Guardiola took me to another level.
Oh, 100%. Ooh. He does that with a lot of players. So, I mean, the weird thing is contradictory information, which you might get into in a bit. All I've heard a lot about Ben Chilwell, but that's from the agent side, so it's not really that reliable. But carrying on. But I've also heard they might not even, well, they might prefer a right back to a left back.
Really?
Watch this space.
Really?
Yeah, ooh, they love Zinchenko.
Bombshell.
New contact
from
Zinchenko.
Do you think this is going right off topic. Do you think Zinchenko is a long-term left-back?
They seem, or a long-term? Yeah, I think he's going to get a five-year deal. And
he deserves that.
Yeah. We are breaking the rules.
There are no rules.
These are our rules. This is the podcast. We're not stuck for too much time.
There's no rules. We can...
Yeah. Yeah.
That's why I talk about politics.
I think I need to go back to this. What, they're looking for somebody to replace Walker?
I'm not sure. I just keep hearing stuff about
bombshell
right back.
That's going to be on Twitter.
I mean, honestly,
City to replace Walker.
Somebody said to me the other week. And I'm not sure how true this is, but they don't even want a left back at all. I'm like, this guy normally knows what he's talking
about.
But I'm kind of taking a bit of a pinch of salt with that.
Is okay then. We will.
Well, yeah, I think Mendy's in last chance saloon, but maybe Zinchenko is. They love him.
Right. Let's go on to question.
But Ben Chilwell, maybe, don't forget.
Yeah. Question two. Let's change things up. This is fun because this was sent in from one of our own, who I'm going to ask to answer her own question. So, at Natalie Pike asks, is Sergio Aguero Manchester City's greatest ever player? Natalie Pike.
Yes, he is. Obviously, it's always been between him and David Silva. Fanzone Danny and I argue often about this, and I was caving in to David Silva for the last few years. But now, this season, with the phenomenal season that he's having and the absolute consistency over the last 5 years, Sergio Aguero is the greatest ever Manchester City player.
Sam?
Yeah, I agree with that. Basically, it's always been David Silva because it's making the team tick, but Aguero has been up there, and now Aguero in the last two seasons has been playing the best football of his career, and also the 93-20 goal builder statue.
Yeah, stick the statue on the stand that we name after Aguero.
We're really flouting these rules.
Yeah.
Yeah, but it was still like chiming as you were speaking, so I'm okay with that.
It counts. Yaya Torre is also in there for me, but that's a story for another day. Next question. This is from @Bashial on Twitter. He asks, what is the current situation with Gundogan?
Ooh,
would you like him to stay?
Question.
And will he stay? So we'll start with you, Sam, about will he stay? Go.
Will he stay? I really don't think he will. I don't think that's going to happen now. I think what Guardiola was saying in a press conference recently about if he was 100% about staying, he would have signed it. That was far more open and honest from Guardiola than he normally is about contract situations and that kind of thing. At the moment, basically as it stands, he's going to go. He's not going to sign one.
I'm pretty sad about that.
Is he going to go this summer, do you think?
Yes. Well, I don't think City will allow him to go for free.
Yeah.
So it's basically get as much value as possible.
I think it's sad if he does go because I think he's always had such huge potential.
He's
been brilliant recently.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm pretty sad about that one. That was bad news. Sorry, Bashiell, if you were hoping he was going to stay. But like you say, Pep often wants his players to sign if they want to sign. He's not going to wrestle anyone into signing. Next question. This will be the final one. This is an interesting one from at @CityTillIDie99 on Twitter, who asks, Sal Niguez, is there any truth in this rumour? Sam, we're coming back to you again.
Right, can I say, first off the bat, I don't know, but I can give you a glimpse behind the journalistic curtain and how much of a shambles it is, or maybe just how much I've got bad sources. The first day that story came out, basically the gist of it was, from the agency side, they said that City had gone to them and asked about him, but nothing since. From the City side, they said the agency had come to them and said he's for sale, and City said, well, we're not interested. So I was like, okay, so that's nothing. The next day, somebody said, oh, yeah, City do want him. Okay, right, I didn't know. Until yesterday, somebody said, no, he's going to go to United. Right, I'm carrying on. You can start the timer again if you want, but I'm carrying on. So yesterday, somebody said, no, he's going to go to United. Here we go. So I was like, okay, I can forget about it. Went to the under-18s game last night, spoke to somebody else, and he said a first-team player at City had told him that Sol Niguez is going to sign for City this summer. And I was like, right, that sounds good. Spoke to somebody else this morning who has spoken to the guy who co-authored the original article, and apparently that was a big misunderstanding, and he is indeed going to United and not City. And then somebody else messaged me today and said, the bloke who messaged me the first time and said they do want him, he said, I've spoken to my guy again, and he says City are quietly confident it's going to happen. So basically,
I'm
I have
so
absolutely
confused.
No
but
idea
this,
what
this
is going
screams
on.
Again, how many times are we going to have City and United tug of war for a player?
It's going to be a lot now.
This one
created
that came
of
out
war.
Of nowhere, this one excites me.
Yeah.
Yeah, I really like him. So this would be
a lot of money, though, isn't it? That's why I kind of can't see it either.
He's 25. He's 150 million pound release clause.
Yeah, I think that's what
you can get him for 80.
That's what they're going to do. Well, there's some kind of chat about 80, but where's that actually come from?
I don't know, but I think United are going to go all out for Jadon Sancho, but that's for another show. Sal Niguez is only 24, though.
He signed a 9-year contract, didn't he, a couple years ago, so it's like...
Yeah, contracts don't
really anything.
David Moyes is still under contract.
Did you see that Jordi Alba's got a release clause of £428 million?
Yeah. I saw today that Real Madrid want €500 million for Rafael Varane.
Fantastic. If we all put together, we'll buy him. Why not?
Just our wages from this show. Hooray! Yeah.
But that was great. It was good to be able to get that in the podcast because I know that people like it in the show. We'll try and fit it in the show every week, but it's nice for you guys who download the podcast, subscribe to the podcast. We'll give you this extra. And if you have any questions for next week, get involved at MCR Footy Social or at BM Rising. Thank you, everyone. Thanks.
Thank
good show.
You.
And we'll
Thank
see you,
you.
Next
Thank
week.
You.
Goodbye.
Bye.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Hey, everyone. Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.